Some preparation, huh? Now, some people might not think of that as much of a miracle. They might say, what? He was a fisherman. He caught some fish. He had a bad day. He went out again. His luck changed. He caught some fish. He had a good day. But the testimony is that Peter and those who were with him were what? Astonished at the catch of fish. This is a guy who knows fish. You want to know something about fish? You go to Peter. He knows what to expect. He's done it all his life. It's his livelihood. And God rocked his world with this catch of fish. By the time God got done filling up the boat so that they almost began to sink under the weight of the fish, Peter knew something was a little different today. You guys watch Deadliest Catch? Some of you do. Can you imagine that boat sinking under the weight of the catch? That's a lot of fish. Thank you, Cindy, man. That is a lot of fish. By the time God got done, Peter knew that this was no ordinary man. This was not just some dude standing in the boat with him. This is the one who was in the fire in the bush calling out to Moses, "Take your shoes off, for the ground on which you stand is holy." This is the one before whom Isaiah fell down and said, "Oh Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips and I'm undone." This is the one who spoke and the universe came into existence. This is the one of whom Scripture from start to finish declares is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory. And when that realization dawned upon Peter, he was literally undone. All he could do was fall on his face and cry out, "God, I'm not worthy. I am not worthy. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve for you to be on my boat." Suddenly the light went on. Praise God. Time they got to shore, Jesus said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Guess what they did? They followed him. You know why Zebedee was repairing the nets? Because of the catch of fish. And that's why he was sitting there with the penguins, smile and wave, boys. Peter left the fish in the boat. Zebedee was sitting there, "Boy, we're going to eat good now, man. Fire up that grill. Where's my lemon and pepper marinade, buddy? Open a second account at the bank, too, while you're at it. Man, this is good." Praise God. That's why Zebedee didn't say anything. He was too busy fixing the nets and putting the fish in the freezer. Peter said, "I'm following Jesus." Zebedee said, "Go, man. I'd come, too, if I could." Praise God. And so they did. They forsook everything and they followed Jesus to their destiny. But before they did, God gave them a credible testimony, a personal experience, a prophetic, insightful word, and a personal miracle. So that by the time Jesus said, "Follow me," they'd have been insane to do anything but follow Jesus. It would have been foolishness at that point to say, "I don't know, what's in it for me?" That's our gracious God, man. That's the God that we serve. Yes, He calls us from the familiar into the unfamiliar. He calls us from the comfortable into the challenging. But before He does, if you will follow Him and allow Him to speak to your heart, He will give you testimony, after experience of confirmation that He is your God and this is His will. And if you follow Him, you're making the right choice. You thought I was going to say it would be safe. No. And if you follow Him, it will be safe. Nah, that's not what He's called us to. But I promise you this, if you follow him, there you will find your life. Praise God. Now, what does all of that have to do with Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand? Because that's where we started. These things don't go together. What's the kingdom of God got to do with a bunch of people leaving their boats to follow Jesus? Well, I'll tell you. Number one, the greatest aspect of the kingdom of God is not his sovereign rule over devils and demons and death and disease and destruction. The greatest powerful dynamic in the kingdom of God is his rule in the hearts of men. When God truly takes his seat on his throne in your heart, you will follow him anywhere. That is the most beautiful miracle that can be accomplished in this world, is the transformation of someone's heart to where they lived in rebellion and hardness and sin and darkness, and suddenly Christ comes in and they abandon themselves to him and say, Lord, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. I will follow you anywhere. Wherever you go, lead me on. That's number one. That's the kingdom of God, brother. Number two is this: whatever guidance God may have given them to help them make their decision, I believe he wants us to realize he wasn't calling them to leave everything behind to simply follow a man. They were leaving it behind to follow the king. They weren't just following some dude from Nazareth. They were following the king. And when the king says, follow me, man, you're going to follow. You're going to go with all your heart. They were trading their boats for a kingdom. Let that sink in. They were trading their boats for a kingdom. They were trading their boats for a kingdom. They were trading their natural sonship to Zebedee for a divine sonship. They were trading their natural inheritance from the nets to a divine inheritance reserved in heaven for them that does not fade away or corrupt. They were trading this natural life for eternal life. They were trading what they could never keep for what they could never lose. And so when Jesus said, follow me, what else could they do? That's the kingdom of God. They were letting go of everything. In the world's eyes, it was stupid. In the world's eyes, it was foolish. But in the kingdom, they were simply emptying their hands so they could lay a hold with both arms of what God had for them, so that they could, in essence, lay a hold of him. That's kingdom, man. They were trading their boats for a kingdom because they had fallen in love with the king. And that's what it's all about. That's what the kingdom of God truly is all about. If you want the kingdom, if you want the kingdom, you got to follow the king. But if you want the king, you'll find him in his kingdom. That's where you'll find him. So I want to invite you today, before God calls you to a point of decision, he prepares and conditions your heart to obey. And so I want to ask you today, has God been preparing your heart? Has he been conditioning you? Do you look at your life? When you look at your life, can you say, he has been working in my life to confirm what he wants to do? Because if he has done that, then you need to not take that lightly. That is of supreme importance. If you look at your life over the last couple weeks, last couple months, and God has been preparing your heart, you neglect that at your peril. That is important. That is critical. God is working to bring you to a place that you could never imagine in him. So let me ask you, has God been preparing your heart? Because there's coming a time, if he has, if you can look back and say, God has been working in my life. He's preparing me for something. He's preparing you for a point where he is going to look at you in the eye and say, follow me. Follow me. And you will have to move from the familiar to the unfamiliar. That day may be today. That's why you're listening to this message. Devil tried to hold it off. Couldn't do it. You're here anyway. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to take a few minutes before Him as we close. We just want to get before the throne of God. Father, I made up my mind a long time ago. I want all of You, Lord. I want Your revival, God. I'm not looking for a show. I'm looking for You, Lord. I'm looking for Your Spirit poured out without measure, God. I want to swim in the river, Lord. I don't care if there's alligators on the banks. I don't care if there's people throwing rocks from the sides, Lord. I'm going to go in the river, Lord. Sweep me up and carry me away, God. I want to flow and roll with You, Lord. Show me Your glory, God. I'm here to follow You, Jesus, whatever the cost. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. If God is calling you to make to follow Him right now, I just want you to say, just do business with God right now and give Him your heart and tell Him, yes, Lord, I'm Yours. I am Yours. When God called Martin Luther to turn the world upside down in the Reformation at the peril of his own life, he actually stood before the Inquisition that was known for burning people at the stake and torturing them before death. As he stood in that Inquisition, he said, my heart is captive to the Word of God. Before he did that, he found himself in a place where he had to just stretch himself out on the floor and say, Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm Yours. I am Yours. I am Yours. And because he counted Christ greater than life itself, God changed life itself through him. Thank You, Lord. I'm Yours, Lord. I am Yours, Jesus. Lead me. I want to follow You, Jesus. Lead me. I want to follow You. Lead me, Lord. You've shown me and testified, and now I want to follow You in response, God. Thank You, Lord.